Welcome. You're listening to The Aligned Self, conversations in creating a conscious and abundant life. This is Daniel Denovi. I'll be your guide and host. Let's see just where we can take this. Hello, friend, and welcome back to the conversation. Now, I don't know if you can hear it, but the neighbors are having their pool resurfaced, and there is a truck running in the background. I think I can filter it out, but it's kind of annoying to me. Hopefully, it's not an annoyance to you. But frankly, I didn't want to wait until the truck was done or they were done before I get this out, before I recorded it. So it is what it is. So today I want to talk about a distinction between need and want. And I think it's critical if you're a manifester, if you're in relationship to yourself or anybody else. And it comes on the heels of a question that was asked. See, I followed this coach on Facebook. We become friends. We were actually part of a Facebook group. And she made a comment. She made a post. I knew there was a word there. She made a post that intrigued me. I liked the way she thinks. So I wanted to be associated with her and I friended her. And right away she's all suspect. Like, what do you want? Why are you friending me? And this is why we're both in the group and I found your post interesting, your comment fascinating. And I like the way you think. I'd like to, you know, become friends and learn more over time. Well, she sat on the friend request for about a month and then she finally accepted. But I kind of get it because oftentimes other coaches, marketers will friend me and right away they want to sell me something. They want to sell me their program. They want right away they're reaching for my wallet before actually creating a relationship. But you know, on Facebook, sometimes people present a particular way and you don't really know what's going on until you see some of their posts, you know, hear some of their comments, just have a greater experience of them. Well, this relationship coach that I friended, she'd often post these questions about relationship, about being a man or being a woman and dating. What are your expectations? And what are your expectations in relationship? Just, you know, stuff like that. And I would take the time and I would answer. I would put my point of view up. And sometimes she would love on my response and other times she'd love on it, but then would qualify it, kind of saying that I was missing the mark. I was just off the topic, which she asked a question and I was just answering the question. There was no topic really. I thought I was giving my opinion. I was giving my feedback. And I soon learned that she had an agenda. She had an agenda in asking the question. She was searching for a particular answer or to guide the conversation to a particular place. And so after those exchanges, it always kind of left me feeling kind of ambivalent, a little irritated at her response. And I felt like I was baited. You know what I mean? And I can remember several times typing out a long response to justify or defend my position and then deleting it and not really bothering with it. Well, for a long time, I didn't respond to any of her questions. And it was interesting. The other day, she posted this question that said, "Men, do you like being needed in a relationship?" Now, I can remember a time when I sought to be needed. I really wanted to be needed in a relationship, because that meant that I had value in the relationship. You see, we're brought up to feel like we need to contribute to the relationship to have any value whatsoever. I've learned, though, it's nice being in a relationship because the other person wants you, not necessarily because they need you. When there's a need underneath the surface with the other person being with you because they need you, there's a certain amount of codependency that's there. There's a certain amount of responsibility that they're not being accountable for because they're expecting you to supply whatever they think they need. And so my response was, I don't like to be needed in a relationship that has the feeling of codependence. I want to be wanted. In my marriage, I take great satisfaction that my wife does not need me. She wants me. We're together because we want to be with each other. We could both live independently. She could take care of herself. She could be completely happy on her own. I could be completely happy on my own. But we choose to spend time together, to be on a journey together. And so each and every day, I have the opportunity to choose my wife, to choose to be in the relationship. It's not like I have to. It's not because I need it. And we're going to drill down and get really specific about what a want is and what a need is. But in this conversation inside of relationships with a relationship coach, I thought my response was pretty good because I've been in a codependent relationship and I understand the dynamics that are there. She did that thing where she loved on the comment and then said that I didn't understand the question for the most part. That many people associate need and want as the same. And speaking from her point of view, from her post, she said, if I'm in a relationship, there's many things that I can do on my own. But if I lose a loved one, someone that's important to me, and I'm grieving, sure, I can go through that by myself. But I need my lover to be there to support me. Well, to me, she completely missed the point or the distinction, the difference between wanting and needing. She didn't understand it, which I think is critical when you're in the position of being a relationship coach, guiding other people in their communication, guiding other people how they're relating to somebody else inside an intimate relationship. And then I did that thing where I started to type my response to explain or to educate. And then I deleted it. And I realized it's her post. It's not my place to educate her. If people are buying into her conversation, then let them buy in. But again, I was left irritated. And I sat there for a second, wondering, am I being petty? Or should I just unfriend her and extract myself from this relationship? Well, I decided to put her through the Chug test. Now, this is something that comes from Steve Sims. He's a coach. He's a marketer. But he has this idea called the Chug test. If I wouldn't sit down with you and chug a beer, regardless of what our business relationship was, I don't want to be in relationship with you. I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to work with you. So he always passes people through the Chug test. And so I asked myself, would I like to sit down and have a conversation with her and, you know, chug a beer? And I decided I didn't. And so I unfriended her. Now, there was a time in my life where I felt it was my duty to educate people, to pass along my wisdom as if I had something important to say. But I realized that that used to come from a very a place of insecurity within me. It was codependent. Like, I needed you to want to know what I had to say. And aside from this podcast where I pass out my wisdom, for the most part, if we're out at a party or if we're at a gathering, I keep my mouth shut unless somebody asks. Or if I have a specific opinion on something, I'll say, this is my opinion on this. This is my point of view because it adds to the conversation. But I never, ever go out of my way to convince someone of something else. If they're interested, I'll dangle a carrot out there. And if they don't take it, then I walk away. But in the context of unfriending this person, I realized that I'm no longer going to suffer the irritation of other people that I've chosen to be in relationship with. If I don't really like the way they think, if I don't really like their position, if I don't respect them, why should I continue a relationship? Because I don't need them in my life. I want to be in a position where I want people, I want to associate with you, I want to spend time with you. Because it fulfills an exchange. It expands the conversation. And that's something I go by. Does our interaction expand the conversation of possibility? Or does it contract? Energetically, is it expanding? Or is it contracting? And as I'm sitting here, the truck is revving up. And they must be actually blowing the concrete or the gunite on the pool next door. Anyways, I think I can filter it out, though, so I don't even know why I'm mentioning it, because you probably will not be none the wiser. But then if I was to totally hide the fact from you, what was going on here, that would not be authentic, necessarily. Because you might go, what the hell is that in the background? But let's talk about need versus want. I felt that story was important for some reason. I'll let you decide whether it is or not. I'm not going to tell you why it's impactful or could be impactful to you. So what is a need and what is a want? Well, a need is something that you cannot do without. And there's very little that we actually need as a human being. On a physical level, we need air. We need oxygen. We need to be able to breathe. Only after about 2 or 3 minutes without breath, we'll probably pass away. We'll die. Our brain will shut down. Our heart will shut down. We cannot go very long at all without air. Next on the list, because I'm going to try and create a hierarchy of a list of importance, next on the list is water. After about 3 days, our body starts to shut down. And you can actually feel the effects of dehydration. Your brain becomes foggy. You start to ache. Your joints ache. Your muscles ache. You feel irritable. You are thirsty. You go through a period of real thirst. But then your body starts to acclimate and starts conserving water to the best of its ability. But by and large, after the fourth or fifth day, you're pretty much a goner because your body is just shutting down. Next is food. Now, a lot of people don't feel like they can go without food at all, at least not, you know, more than 12 hours. You might go to bed at 8 o'clock, and if you're not eating by 8 the next morning, that you should have food. I'm hungry. And people make a big deal out of it. I haven't eaten lunch. I haven't eaten all day. Well, that comes more down to a want. We want to eat on a more regular basis. But when you really look at what we need, we could easily go 24 hours. I've been fasting intermittently since August, and I can tell you that it's easy to go 3 days without food, but you have to have the water. More than 3 days, it starts to get a little tougher, but after about the fourth or fifth day, your body acclimates and you can go without food even longer. Now, after about 7 days, your body starts to cannibalize your muscle tissue to use the protein that's there to fuel the cells, to feed the brain, to keep things running. Now, as long as you have body tissue to cannibalize, you can go a long time. You can go 30, 40, 50 days. Relatively easy. Not necessarily comfortable, but you could do it. And you don't necessarily have to stay still either. There's people that run full marathons in a fasted state. Now, there's a story about a guy that went an entire year without eating, just drinking water and taking supplements, mainly minerals in order to balance the electrolytes in the system to make sure that all the cells are somewhat working. Those are essentially the three needs that we have to maintain our physical life. Now, on an emotional level, in order to be well balanced, now this is not in the category of preservation, of survival, but in order to be well balanced, ideally, we have some nurturing and demonstrations of love, that we are loved, that we're held, or that we're fed, cared for by another human being. That love and nurturing validates our existence. Now, if we don't get that as a child, if we don't get it in our developmental years, we'll survive. We might have some anxiety. Our emotional temperament may not be that well balanced. But that's essentially the world. Not everyone gets what they require or what would be healthy as they're growing up. And in some respects, it is what it is. The beauty of it, though, is as a human being, as an adult human being, you can make up for deficits in your childhood emotionally. But you need to recognize that if you went through that as a child, if certain amounts of validation, love, appreciation were missing from your childhood, that will become a need, an unconscious need, an unfulfilled want in your adult life. And so you will seek out relationships to where you need that present in your relationship. Now, in many cases, needing something from another person, needing something externally, is a recipe for disaster in a lot of cases. And this is where relationships become codependent. If you're expecting the other person to fulfill a need, to validate you in some way, then you will alter your behavior in order to get that validation, to get that appreciation. You will not have good boundaries because, oh my God, if you state a boundary and they walk away, then you're going to lose out. There's an aspect of life that you need from this other person, but you don't really need it from them. It's how you've chosen to get it. So this is a self-reflection point. You might ask yourself, how do I validate who I am? How do I validate myself in relationship? And do I feel like I'm enough just the way I am in showing up? Or do I feel like I have to do something for the other person, for my loved ones, in order to be or have value in the relationship? Now, early on in life, I needed my partner to validate me. I changed my behavior. That was what, for whatever reason, I put validation in the hands of the people I was in relationship with. And often, they were not validating me the way I wanted to be validated. Of course, I wasn't necessarily saying this is what I wanted. I just expected them to know. But it was a sobering day when I realized that the guiding force behind the majority of the relationships I was in was in order to be validated. Be validated that I was lovable, that I was worthwhile, that I was interesting, that I was smart. But then I thought about it. How irresponsible of me that I was making my happiness, my satisfaction, incumbent upon the other person showing up and valuing it. If they didn't, I would often feel like they didn't value me. I wasn't worthwhile. They didn't love me. They didn't love me the way I wanted to be loved. And then I was going out of my way to do that for them when they weren't doing it for me, because I figured if I did it for them, then they would recognize this is how I want to receive it. So I went out of my way and I validated them. I loved them. I did things for them to prove my value to them. But they never appreciated it the way I wanted them to appreciate it. How could they? I wasn't appreciating myself. I didn't validate myself. And so if you're not doing that for yourself, somebody else can never do it enough for you. Because frankly, if you think about it, we have a hard enough time just taking care of ourselves. If I make your happiness and validation my responsibility, that's twice the work I have to do. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to drop the ball. And so I realized it was my responsibility to love myself. It was my responsibility to make myself happy. It was my responsibility to validate myself as being worthy. So this is where I want to go back to the difference between need and want. When I was putting it in the hands of someone else, it was showing up as a need. I need this from you because without it, I'm not enough. As opposed to wanting. If I want love from you, if I want demonstrations of love, if I want to be understood, then when you do it, it affirms my own knowing. But if you don't do it for me, I don't feel less than. I don't feel like I'm not enough. I just feel like you can't appreciate what I have going on. And that's okay. It's not your job to appreciate me or understand my every thought. I take responsibility for that. But in that distinction, a need, unless it's an essential physical need, air, food, water, or air, water, food, if we're going in the hierarchy of it, anything other than that is want. Unless I'm in relationship with you and I'm expecting it from you, then it is a need or a condition of our relationship. Because if you end up not giving it to me over time, and it's consistent that you're not giving it to me over time, then I'm going to end the relationship because I'm just not getting what I need from you. And so a need, more often than not, occurs externally, external from our frame of reference. A want is inner generated. I want you to accept me. I want, but if you don't, you don't. I want that those demonstrations of love. I want to spend time with you. And from the position of wanting, just because you want something, that is reason enough. You want it because you want it. I want demonstrations of love. I don't need it. I want it. And I don't have to have a good reason. I don't have to justify it. I don't have to say, because we're in a relationship, you have to show up this way. If you don't show up in that relationship that way, I can choose to leave. I can choose someone else. I can choose, but I'm not left feeling like I'm not enough or I'm not good enough inside the relationship. I'm just not getting what I want. It's okay. It's just not a priority of yours. I don't make you wrong. I don't make you like, you terrible person. Why didn't you give me what I want? But that, by the same token, it's really important. I don't have to justify why I want it. I want it because I want it. And if we extrapolate that out in the context of law of attraction and manifesting, sometimes people create an intention, a wanting, and then they feel like they have to justify it. Am I deserving? Have I worked hard enough? Have I struggled hard enough? And that idea typically originates from our childhood when if there was something that we wanted, it would not be doled out to us because we weren't, more than for the most part, capable of getting it for ourselves. It was doled out to us based on our deservability. Were we good? Were we behaving ourselves? Did you work for it? That's a result of, did you satisfy the conditions of the person giving you whatever you wanted? But in the context of the universe, if you want it, it will deliver. If you feel as if you deserve it, not that you have to deserve it, but if you have the feeling, I want it, then I deserve it. I'm here, I'm sitting in this chair, so I deserve to sit here. It's not a matter of judgment from somebody else's point of view. It's just that if I want it, I want it. It's a condition of me being alive. I've made being happy a condition of being alive, meaning that it's become part of my criteria that if I'm not having fun and I can't create fun, then I probably do not want to engage in this activity. And I can bring fun to just about anything. But there are things that are just not nourishing enough, just not fulfilling enough. And so if it doesn't pass the chug test, I may just have to say goodbye, but just have to do something else because there's lots of other choices. So, self-reflection point. What are you saying you need from your partner? What are you saying you need from someone else? What are you saying you need from the world when in actuality, it is a want? See, when you state it as a want, I want this, and the other person has the ability to either provide it or not, and it doesn't mean anything about you whether or not they can come through. It gives you power when you come from the space of wanting. Now, this is where I probably have to address the whole idea behind wanting in manifesting, in law of attraction. A lot of people say, if you want it, come from a space of wanting, then you're actually pushing it away. Well, this is where you really have to check inside to see what is the feeling that's associated with that wanting. Like, I can want steak. I'm a carnivore. I can want a steak one night, and if I really want it, I can go out to the restaurant and get it. I can go to the store and get it, or I might be able to go to the freezer and pull it out. I can make that happen. And it comes from a wanting. But if I want it and I don't have access to it, and so that lack of access is what pushes it away. The more I think about, I want a steak, but I don't have it, I'm in the idea of being in lack. And so here's the distinction. I want it and I'm going to have it. I want it and it's either going to show up in this relationship or I'm going to create another relationship. But I'm not going to make it your responsibility to fulfill on my want. And from that perspective, a need is living in scarcity. If I say I need this, I'm saying I can't create it on my own. And you're probably not giving it to me, so I just don't have it. But if I want it and I feel empowered, and if I focus on it, there is nothing that's outside the realm of possibility for me. If I'm really committed, if I want it, I'm going to have it. Now, I have just one more thing to say about wanting in relationship, is that not everyone wants the same things. And this is a good thing. Because we can create a win-win scenario or a win-win situation where I get what I want and you get what you want. And we both have what we want, but they're not necessarily the same. And me providing what you want doesn't take anything from me. It's easy for me to give you what you want, and it's easy for you to give me what I want. And so it's in the realm of abundance. A need is in the realm of scarcity. A want is in the realm of abundance. And when you're in relationship with someone and you're expressing your wants, and the other person isn't necessarily required to provide it, you just say, I want this in our relationship. It can be a common goal. It can be something you both work for. The other person doesn't feel insufficient if it's not there, if they're not providing it for you. Now, before I end this conversation, I just want to say I have not addressed all the nuances between needing and wanting, but we did nail down the distinction, the difference between the two, and the energy behind both of those. And so as I leave you, I want you to be in the consideration, be in the introspection between needing and wanting. Can I live without this? Is this something that I should and could provide for myself? Now, I said self-love. No one can love you but you in the realm of self-love. And what does it take to love yourself? Just a decision. I'm going to love myself. I am going to be loving to myself. I'll be gentle with myself, less critical, be accepting. I'll be a cheerleader. I'm going to support myself in my dreams. I'm going to invest in my future. I'm going to buy myself flowers. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to give myself the ability to take a nap. Why? Because I want it. I may not deserve it. I didn't do any work that really today. I didn't deserve it. But man, I want it. And I'm going to give it to myself. Well, that's it for this episode. Until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Denovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals. Be inner directed as you engage in the epic adventure.